I know her family's in, so she may have not been able to get out.
It's up here.
Yeah, I understand.
Let's all turn to 843. As the deer panteth for the water. You know this by now.
Yeah.
Except for that one verse, maybe.
To you alone may my
desire and I long to worship thee. I want you more than gold or silver, you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
680. There's not a friend. Don, after this song, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please? Okay.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our troubles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No night so dark but his love can cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you tonight so thankful for the opportunity to meet here again. Father, we're thankful so much for the many, many blessings that you share with us. Father, as we approach this holiday, we pray that everybody will look at the things that they have to be thankful for. Look at the little things as well as the big things and realize they all come from you. Father, we have many of our number that may not be feeling well, that are not as healthy as they'd like to be, many that are sitting in this very room. Father, please be with everybody. Help us to deal with those problems. Help us to heal where we can, if it be your will. Father, be with those of our number that are not able to be here at all, and give them some comfort and some healing, please. Father, as we look at the world that we live in, we know that it is not always a peaceful place. We pray that you will look over those in the Ukraine and everywhere that they're having war problems and fighting and people that just don't seem to be able to learn how to live the way that you are wanting us to, with love instead of hate. Father, look over those that are going to be traveling during this holiday. Be with those on the road. There's many on the on the highways, there's many flying in the air. Please look over everybody and give them a safe travel to their destination and a safe trip home. Father, as we go through this service, please let us apply the things that we learn to our lives and show them to our community. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. At this time, I'd like for you to mark number 29 in your songbook. 29 will be our song of invitation. All to Jesus I surrender. When you get that marked, turn over a few pages, number 26, An Empty Mansion.
Here I labor and toil as I look for a home, just a humble abode among men. While in heaven a mansion is waiting for me, in a gentle voice pleading, come in. There's a mansion now empty, just waiting for me. At the end of life's troublesome way, many friends and dear loved ones will welcome me there, near the door of that mansion someday. Ever thankful am I that my Savior and Lord promised unto the weary sweet rest. Nothing more could I ask than a mansion of love, there to live with the saved and the blessed. There's a mansion now empty, just waiting for me, at the end of life's troublesome way. Friends and dear loved ones will welcome me there, near the door of that mansion someday. When my labor and toiling have ended below, and my hand shall lie folded in rest, I'll exchange this old home for a mansion and invite the archangel as guest. There's a mansion now empty, just waiting for me, at the end of life's troublesome way. Many friends and dear loved ones will welcome me there, near the door of that mansion someday.
I'm going to start from up here tonight because I got some songs that we're going to sing. It's going to be kind of a throwback to some of the devotional services that we've had. Daryl organized some devotional services, you'll recall that. And that's kind of in the grain of what I had in mind to do tonight. Don started my class for me tonight with his prayer, the thankful part, right? Tomorrow, our nation will be observing a national holiday. And I pulled up some history. This is what AI's take is.
You don't have the projector on.
I apologize for that. That'll take about 60 seconds or so. But pulled up some history. I think most of us are pretty familiar with the origin of this holiday, where it is said to have originally came as far as an occurrence of a feast. But, you know, as far as the holiday itself that we observe in our country, some of the detail is found here on the screen, and you'll see that here. I probably do right now, actually. Thanksgiving became an official holiday here in the United States in 1870. And then some of the predecessory things to that are found below. Congress made it a legal holiday in the District of Columbia at that time. Gave the president the authority to set the date. And it says here that that President Lincoln proclaimed the last Thursday as the day of Thanksgiving, and he had done that 7 years before Congress made it an official holiday. And then some 70 or so years after the Congress declared it a holiday, a resolution officially set the last Thursday, the fourth Thursday in November, as the holiday. The idea of Thanksgiving, you know, of all ideas of holidays, right? This is an idea that that I think we can all get behind, right? Regardless of what your position is on any number of other holidays, this is a holiday that few can say we don't need more of, right? More thankfulness. Now, the idea of Thanksgiving, right, originated some couple hundred years as a feast occurrence, some couple hundred years before that, and you're all familiar with the story of the early settlers that landed in the Massachusetts area, had you know, endured some hardship while they were here, and so the history books tell us this celebration of sorts occurred between the Plymouth colonists and this Wampanoag Native American group. And here it shows this occurred in autumn of 1621. But again, the idea of Thanksgiving didn't originate in Massachusetts. It didn't originate when Congress made this declaration of when this holiday was. Thankfulness was in the core of God's values for mankind forever. You know, what is thankfulness? One person thought he had an idea in the book of Luke in chapter 18. And I'll read that. If you want to read that along with me, I encourage you to do so. But this is what one person's idea of thankfulness is. Luke 18. Let's start in verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you. I'll say that again. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give thanks of all that I possess. And then the other, the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, the second man, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. See, the tax collector thanked God openly because he wasn't like this lowly person that was praying in close proximity to him, and like all these others who he identified their sinfulness by name. In fact, he touted his faithfulness to God in his prayer of thanksgiving. Think about that for a second. When you are thanking God, are you thanking God that God is really blessed to have someone quite as extraordinary as you. Well, what's the scriptural example? Turn your Bibles to the Old Testament book of Psalm. And let's read the 100th Psalm there. It's a really short Psalm, 5 verses. My study Bible gives that Psalm a heading. It says, "A Psalm of Thanksgiving." How appropriate. "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God, and it is he who has made us, and not we ourselves." I'll say that again. "It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture." The next verses we're going to sing here in a second. "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." Let's sing together song 949. "He Has Made Me Glad" is the title on the slide in our books. "I Will Enter His Gates." That's directly read there from verse 4. "I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad." Sorry. I don't know if, yeah, the end of that song is covered up by whatever this is here on screen. This is another song. Before we get into that song, however, though, I want to go back and look at the verse for a second. As we sang that song, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations." That last bit of that, I want to come back to that later this evening. His truth endures to all generations. We talked about that on Sunday morning, if you'll remember, right? When we opened up our booklets, early on in that scripture, we have established what truth is. And I want to get back to that later on this evening. Before we read that, "It is he who has made us and not we ourselves." Well, the publican, right, he was pretty proud that he was a self-made man, it seems. But here in this verse, kind of tells us the opposite, kind of tells us maybe what's in the mind of the, I don't know what I said before. I think I said publican when I meant to say the Pharisee. The Pharisee was, in his mind, a self-made man, but the publican wouldn't even look up to God. He recognized that it is God who had made him, and not he himself. Let's sing the next song. "Thank you, Lord, for loving me, and thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Let us all with one accord sing. Apologize for that. I don't. That looked a little different to me. That's. I guess I should have looked at the slides more closely before I put them in there. The next song has the same title, different songwriter, different tune. The idea of thankfulness, right? Who thinks we thank God too much? None of us think that. Let's sing it in this song.
For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. For all that you promised and all that you are is all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you. And I thank you.
Let's turn our Bibles next to the Psalm 95. Just a couple pages, maybe not even that, maybe the same opening from where you were. Psalm 95, let's read in Psalm 95 the first 7 verses. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he has made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Let's stop there. That same sentiment we find in song also, a song that's not found in our hymnals. This song is, Come Let Us Worship and Bow Down.
Come let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he the sheep
Psalm number 107 is a longer psalm. It's about 40 some odd verses. I won't read all those. The same theme we find recurring throughout that psalm, however, and is the psalm of praise and thanksgiving. The psalm starts out, "Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Multiple times, as I made mention there, we see the reoccurrence of that exact, almost word for word, phraseology used again and again throughout that verse. And then between the occurrence of him using those verses, he kind of fills in the gap as to just why we should be thankful. Let's look at the first occurrence of that. We find that beginning there in verse 2. "Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord, or can declare all his praise? Blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have toward your people. O visit me with your salvation, that I may see the benefit of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders, nor did they remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. So he led them through the depths and through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him who hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their enemies." I'm going on and on about the wrong passage. That's a great passage. It's a great passage, but not the one I intended to read. God did great things for the Israelite nation, right? We see that, right? He delivered them countless times again, and they forgot him. Not even what I had in mind reading tonight, but great nonetheless, his mercies, his willingness to endure, to suffer long with the Israelite nation. Chapter 107, the one shown here on the slide. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." We see that idea, like I said there earlier. I was kind of waiting for the reoccurrence of that phrase once again, and I thought I'd get to that, but I never did. But here in chapter 107, we do in fact see that. Our God is good. His mercy endures forever. You know, we can find a lot of things to be thankful about. And, you know, a lot of families have traditions like that on holiday season where they identify different things that they're thankful for. All that's good. The who is what I think we need to focus on even more so than any aspect of that. God's expectation for thankful people did not end in the Psalms. Just a couple occurrences of that. I'm not going to read these passages other than the short excerpt that we see here on the slides this evening. But if you want to look at those, kind of the whole gist of it, you find in the longer version that I have there identified on screen. But in Galatians chapter 4, verse 2, there Paul writes, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, included in that scripture is this passage: by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In Ephesians chapter 5:18 through 5:21, included in that set of verses is this very text: giving thanks for all things to God the Father. And then finally, a passage that we just studied a couple weeks ago right here in our Wednesday lessons, Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 16 through 18, there Paul writes, in everything give thanks. In everything. That can challenge us in some ways, right? We typically like to look at only the things that are particularly favorable in our lives and say that's a blessing that God has given me. But on this other aspect, God hasn't just really blessed me all that much. Well, that's probably short-sightedness and not following through with this passage for sure. In everything, give thanks is the command. Circling back to where we started this evening, this concept of truth. Jesus, he says in John chapter 18, verses 37 and 38, he says, for this cause I was born, and for this cause I've come into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate responded to Jesus. This is right before the crucifixion. What is truth? Truth is the reason that we are thankful to our God, because of Jesus brought that truth to us. And then Jesus had already answered this question a couple chapters earlier. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the life. And because of Jesus is the reason we have thankfulness in our lives. It's the reason that we give thanks in all things, as 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 commands us to do. I hope tomorrow thankfulness is on your mind. But I hope that's on your mind again Friday, and it's on your mind again Saturday and Sunday and all the days between now and next Thanksgiving. I hope it's on your mind, thankfulness, because that is consistent with God's expectation for us. Our God is a God of mercy and love, and God has great compassion on us. God has given us what we needed more than anything. We count our blessings. Song 118 in our book is titled Count Your Blessings. A great psalm of thankfulness, a great song of thankfulness. And tonight, if you have not experienced the greatest gift available to mankind, if you have not been cleansed of your sins, I look around the audience and that's not true of anyone I see in this assembly. But it might be true of someone that is hearing my voice on the radio, on the broadcast. And even for those among us tonight, maybe you've not quite been thankful in everything. I don't know. Maybe I've not been thankful in everything. I do know the answer to that. But if you're in either camp, if you're wanting to find this truth, this way, this life, then Christ is going to make that available to you and has made it available to you in the sacrifice of himself on the cross. And our God is willing to forgive us as many times as we'll repent and turn back to him. So the opportunity is yours this evening. We're going to sing an invitation song here in just a moment. I would encourage you to show your thankfulness, show your appreciation by your submission to the plan of salvation, by your obedience, and Christ Jesus himself will add you to the church, just as he has for souls for so many years. If you're a subject to this call, please respond as we sing this invitation song.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender
this morning that what he's going to talk about tonight, but I believe that song right there is very appropriate with what you had tonight, because that is part of who we need to be if we're not. So we need to surrender all to Christ. Is there any announcements that needs to be made other than have a safe trip home and this evening and watch out for other drivers and deer and so on and so forth?
James?
Yes.
I talked to Minnie today, and she said that Jack's blood pressure is so high, he couldn't get out of bed today. It's one of the rim in our prayers.
Who was that?
Jack King.
Jack. We need to keep him in our prayers. His birthday's coming up, by the way, in just a few days. If you haven't sent him a card, it might be a good idea to send him a card. And I'm not talking about just the church sending a card. Individuals can do the same thing, too. I believe he needs a lot of encouragement, and he needs a lot of prayers for his health conditions, and Millie does too. We were thankful that she was here Sunday, and as you can all see that she has lost a lot of weight. I didn't get a chance to ask her what was her issue with losing the weight, but I'm sure it has to do with her health and her things that she has to overcome and take care of. Anything else? Now, David, would you dismiss us, please?
Sure. Let's pray. Father, we are very thankful that
we were able to assemble together as the family of God. And Father, we want to have the attitude of thankfulness, not only tomorrow, but every day of our lives, Father. Often I ask myself, if you took away everything I'm not really thankful for, how much would I have left? And I'm afraid sometimes that's not very much. So, Father, help us to have an attitude to remind us that you're with us, and that we always have things to be thankful for that. We live in a land of abundance. We probably have much more than many of those that are throughout the world, Father. And help us to be thankful enough to think of these blessings and to share them with others where we have that opportunity, Father, because you first shared them with us. Be with those that are going to be traveling throughout this holiday. Help them to get where they're going safely. Father, help a spirit of peace be upon us and our families as we meet to feast tomorrow. And help us, Father, to set strife aside and let love rule, because we know that love conquers all. Help us, Father, as we separate, to not be separated from your presence nor your love. In the name of Jesus, the Blessed One, and your only begotten Son, it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
That was as good a Thanksgiving service as we ever had.
Thank you.
You did a great job.
Thank you.
You did a great job. The problem with anything, Dan Holter, I could say, I'm serious.
I think people are just free. I look for